With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
What an amazing, amazing conference title Sunday that we got to experience yesterday. We will re-experience it. For most of the show today, we will be heavy on those two games from yesterday and our beginning, the beginning of our look ahead to Super Bowl 53, which a week from today we will be in Atlanta getting ready even more hardcore for the Super Bowl. It is a rematch of a Super Bowl that was played 17 years ago. Tom Brady's first Super Bowl victory was against the then St. Louis Rams. His what I think most of the rooting universe, I feel like, hope is his last Super Bowl will be against these Los Angeles Rams. But if yesterday is any indication, Tom Brady ain't going anywhere for a long, long time. Nice to be with all of you. Hope you had a great weekend. We're with you till 6 o'clock tonight. We are the Triple Threat. My name is Sean Pendergast. To my right is Rich Lord. Hi, Rich.
How you doing, Sean?
I'm good. Do you have a nice weekend?
I did have a good weekend. I hope you can say the same. I know you were at the Rockets-Lakers Saturday night, so you had a good weekend.
That was a fun game.
In addition to the fact that yesterday, look, it's not going out on a limb. It's the greatest championship weekend in NFL playoff history to have both conference championship games go to an overtime, go down to the wire, throw in some controversy, throw in some all-time great clutch play. And yeah, the thing you just mentioned, that Rams greatest show on turf versus Patriots Super Bowl. People forget how much the Rams were favored to win that game. The Patriots hadn't proven anything yet. It seems like a lifetime ago, and I know it was a lot of years ago.
13.5-point favorites.
Unbelievable the Rams were, yeah. Amount of NFL history that's been logged between then and now by a guy named Tom Brady, who occasionally goes by TB12, who occasionally drops F-bombs on network TV, and who we can not deny is the greatest of all time. And it was on display again yesterday, those third and tens in overtime. My goodness.
Yeah, it was crazy. In fact, and I think you and I talked before the show, we're going to try to parse this out. There's so much to get to with two games. So rather than rush our way through and try to get both games squeezed into the open, we're going to put that Tom Brady performance yesterday up on the shelf for about 15 minutes. We'll get to that in the second segment because I do feel like the play and the game that everybody's talking about, Rich, is the first of the two games. It goes to show you just how remarkable a day of football that it was. Two really dramatic games. But I guess in some ways a little bit sad that at the end of two games that had so much drama, so many great players, so many big decisions that were made, some good, some bad along the way by what I think a lot of people perceive to be four best coaches in football, who all had their moments that they'd probably rather have back yesterday, that we're talking about an officiating play in that Rams and Saints game. And just to reset the scene, and if you guys have been listening all day long and you watched the games yesterday, you know the play that we're talking about here. Third down, Saints have the ball, about a minute 45 and change, minute 50, something like that on third down. And Drew Brees drops back to throw a ball to Tommy Lee Lewis out in the flat. And Nickell Robey-Coleman plants a helmet on him, doesn't even look at the ball. Here, just to relive the magic, is this the Saints call of it, Ben? Okay, well, this will be the most emotional call you'll hear about this play.
Third down and 10, Brees from the gun, takes a snap, goes to the near side, hit Early! Fair. Where's the flag?
You don't get one.
Early hit on Tommy Lee, Sean Payton is all the way down at the 10. Unbelievable no call.
Wow, not a flag to be found.
Unbelievable.
That's the second time. You can't challenge him. I mean, he doesn't even look for the ball.
Nickell Robey-Coleman.
That's the second time Nickell Robey-Coleman has gotten away with a play like that.
He is 4 yards before the ball is there.
Okay, so that...
How about telling us what happened on a radio broadcast where we don't have the benefit of TV? He didn't once say what exactly happened on that play.
Well, those are both two form... I forget who the play-by-play guy is for the Saints, but he's a former offensive lineman. Like, right? He's not a classically trained broadcaster.
Didn't they make a change before this season?
They did, and I forget his name. The color analyst is Deuce McAllister. I do know.
When it's a radio call, I always put myself in the car.
Yeah.
And I can't see the game.
Okay, so we all know your frustration with...
I'm broadcast.
broadcasting 101 aside.
Well, frustration is not really with that, as you I'm sure know, because I have been get it right guy for a long time now. I haven't been get it right guy, I'll admit to this, Sean, my whole life. For many years, I was, okay, players make mistakes, coaches make mistakes, officials make mistakes too. In 2019, that's no longer acceptable. No longer acceptable whatsoever, that play cannot be corrected in the moment when it was so obvious that a flag should have been thrown. Now, whether the NFL is going to change the replay system to allow coaches to throw a red flag and challenge whether a penalty should have been called, I don't know what it's going to take, but to get something that important so egregiously wrong is as unacceptable as it gets in 2019. It used to be, oh, well, everybody makes a mistake. That doesn't cut it anymore.
You've advocated for a long time that the entirety of any play that happens in between the white lines should be reviewable.
As long as they continue to have a limit on what coaches can challenge, why not let everything be challengeable?
Yeah.
Why not let a higher authority at a, you know, in a studio somewhere in New Jersey or New York, why not let the authority of the NFL ultimately determine whether or not something happened on the field that we all saw happen on the field, and not leave it up to heat of the moment, guys who view it in live speed, and even with the benefit of replay, sometimes don't always get it right. But I'm here to defend the replay system as well, because I thought in both games, just about every call that was challenged on the replay system, I agreed with the ultimate decision. This one was not reviewable,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, I think your point of view on it, I respect your point of view on it, but I feel like that point of view kind of implies that replay always gets it right. And in fact, replay gets it wrong a lot of the times, even after they review it.
Right, but it's always a better option than only relying on what the referee saw in real time.
I guess I disagree. I disagree that opening up a Pandora's box of adding more things to review, especially things that are subjective.
Like I
because
said,
there will be just as many people. Right? There will be guys challenging things. I get it. That was an obvious one. There will be coaches challenging things at crucial junctures in games that are subjective that'll get overturned, that'll be just as controversial as what you saw yesterday.
Well,
I feel like if you open
now.
Up the Pandora's... No, I'm talking about adding judgment calls to
right.
the mix.
But what I'm saying is that oftentimes we see something on replay, and again, I don't think it happened yesterday, but oftentimes in the NFL, you're watching a game, a play gets challenged, a play gets reviewed, and you say to yourself, looking at it five or six times in slow-mo, okay, that's what happened, and then the referee says something else happened during that play. So I'm just saying the current system is not without some controversial calls. And Sean, the key point of my argument here is you continue to limit the number of challenges that head coaches can make. The game will not get bogged down because of that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on. As long as you limit it, that the time part isn't the part that I'm worked up about, or that I feel like they shouldn't open up more things available to replay. I just think it's a flawed system to begin with, and if now we're adding every single play as a possibility in there, I think it's one of those things that feels really good on paper, that feels really good to talk about the day after a controversial call like that, that will only exacerbate the amount of times we're having conversations like
well,
this
you're right. It's
if
only
you add
the,
to it.
It's only at the top of the conversation today because of what happened yesterday, but you know from doing the show with me, this is a position I've long taken
Rich,
on these things.
Rich,
this isn't because of what happened
Rich,
yesterday.
Hey, Rich. I tweeted yesterday after both games were over. You have two topics that are in the Rich Lord wheelhouse today. The replay review and the two teams each getting the ball in overtime.
And you and
we'll get to that at 2:20.
Right.
I know these are your red
right.
letter topics.
You and I will agree to disagree on this one, I know, which is probably not a bad thing for the sake of the conversation, but it's also one of those things I'd love to hear that what our listeners think. And so we'll throw out again that DWIattorney.com text message line at 713-572-4610. Just want to know what you think about it, because it's just boils down to something simple for me. What's the highest likelihood scenario of getting it right? And I don't think they're there yet.
Yeah, here's my view on the whole thing, Rich. And I'm going to take a step back, because the conversation today has largely been, was it a penalty? Was it not a penalty? Should it be reviewable? Should it not be reviewable? Let me tell you who's to blame in this whole thing. It's Sean Payton. Sean Payton is the one to blame. If you're a Saints fan, you can bellyache about the referees all you want to. But here's the fact of the matter.
His clock management was lacking.
The Saints had the ball with a minute 58, first and 10, at the Rams' 13-yard line after the Ted Ginn catch at the 2-minute warning. If Sean Payton runs the ball into the line twice, maybe you pop a run and you get a first down. Worst case, you're sitting on third and something with the Rams having used both of their timeouts.
That's the key.
With about a minute 45 to go. Now the Rams on third down have no timeouts left, so you run it a third time. Maybe you pop a first down and the game's over and you're taking knees to kick a field goal, even if you don't. It's fourth down. The clock's going to run under a minute. You, the Saints, burn a timeout to set up the field goal on fourth down. You kick a field goal. Now the clock with the field goal is probably down to about 45 seconds.
Yeah.
The Rams would have been forced to go down the field to kick the tying field goal with 45 seconds and no timeouts left in one of the loudest places that you're going to participate in team sports.
He blew it.
This Sean Payton, if he just does that, then the referees don't matter.
If you
execute that, the only things you need to do have nothing to do with the refs or the Rams. All you have to do is snap the ball, hand the ball off, call timeout, and kick a field goal, and you have a 98% chance that you're playing in the Super Bowl right now. Your job as a coach is to put your team in the best position to win, and with his play calling, Rich, he reduced his chances of the team winning.
I'm not arguing that point in any way.
It's his fault.
You're exactly right that he put them in that position, but I consider those two separate things. Those were strategical errors and obviously bad decisions, but the bottom line was the situation was obvious as far as the call being the non-call being an egregious mistake. And maybe the Saints, like two or three other teams already in this offseason, it's mind-boggling how often head coaches make those types of mistakes, given how much they're paid, given how much these guys prep, they sleep in their office, that in the heat of the moment, there can still be some, what seemed to us, obviously, in hindsight, because the pressure's not on us, as just really egregious errors in terms of clock management. We've seen it here in Houston a few times with Bill O'Brien. And again, like I said, there's a few teams this offseason that have already decided they're going to have a guy on staff completely dedicated to making sure they get those scenarios right. Perhaps the Saints will do it, and maybe the Texans as well.
Okay, well, this isn't even anything where you need a guy up in the booth. It's the two-minute warning. You had 3 minutes to sit there and talk about it as a staff.
But I'm talking about managing the clock as a whole. And that's part of managing the clock, having someone to make sure you have someone in your ear that says, wait a minute, do you really want to do it this way?
Right. No, that's fine. And in the heat of the moment, maybe you need a guy like that. This wasn't the heat of the moment. This was, you had the 2 minute warning. You had a TV break to sit there and go, okay, here's what we're going to do. And it wasn't like you had to draw up intricate plays and that.
Right.
Let's just hand it off. Let's just run off tackle three times and kick a field goal. So I feel. You know what I feel for the city of New Orleans? Nothing. I feel zero remorse for the city of New Orleans.
Just because Sean Payton made some egregious mistakes doesn't mean they don't deserve fairness. And we're talking about fairness. That was as unfair as it gets.
Big deal. It's not my team. I don't care.
How can you say that? How can you say fairness is not a big deal?
It's not a big. It's because it's not my team. I don't care. There's bad officiating baked into sports all the time. That's my view on it. Rich, to me, unfair means that I'm verklempt about it, that I feel some sort of emotion about it. I watched that game. That's sports right now. That's sports in 2018. My teams have gotten screwed. Other people's teams have gotten screwed. I ain't losing sleep over New Orleans.
Doesn't make it right.
I'm just telling you how I feel about it. I don't care that New Orleans got screwed by some referee swallowing the whistle on a call. Doesn't make any difference to me.
I like outcomes to be as legitimate as possible, and this is a stained outcome.
Yeah.
That's why it bothers me. And Sean, back-to-back text messages. Number one, completely agree with Sean. The refs didn't cost the Saints a game. They had opportunity.
They did.
Followed by Rich is right.
Yeah.
So 713-572-4610. I feel like this is one of those where you could take up either side of the discussion.
All right. Well, I know there's another Rich Lord wheelhouse topic sitting there on the shelf with this Patriots and Chiefs game. With all due respect.
You're just getting this out of the way in the 2 o'clock hour.
With all due respect, let's get to the greatness of Brady. Then we can discuss overtime rules in the NFL. Remarkable what Tom Brady has been able to do. Even if you hate the Patriots, to watch that game in overtime yesterday and watch what he was doing on those third and long situations. How close were we to seeing the torch get passed yesterday in Kansas City? We'll discuss that next. You're listening to the Triple Threat Sports Radio 610.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.